right now.
You are listening to the rebroadcast of the AMP Coaching Call with Francesca Alexander.
Good morning. This is Francesca Alexander, and this is a live AMP call. So I'm going to have a Q&A session at the end of the call, which should be great, and I'll cue you guys when to do it. What you'll do is you'll push *6 if you have a question. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started this morning. So it is going to be 90 degrees today in Los Angeles. It's been hot all week, which is like funny because I'm actually moving and I'm taking boxes and stuff in my car, driving to my storage center, and I'm just like, oh, and today was my last day and I just saw that it's going to be in the 90s. Oh, anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. So today's call is actually going to be totally different. It's not about weather. It's actually about how we can course correct our brand using infographics. But I wanted to get on my soapbox for a few minutes before I get started. So I had a very frustrating call with a client yesterday, and this is out of love. She's actually one of my favorite clients. I love working with her. She usually grabs everything I say and then just runs with it, and she gets like these amazing results within a week. So we started our work, I would say, about 3 months ago. We've been revamping all her brand stuff, wanting to go ahead and get her services out there. And what has been very frustrating is that she keeps on going back to a design element that is very similar to a famous marketer. Let's just say this person loves to, I feel like this is like an ongoing thing, and I have deep respect and love for other marketers out there for sure. I personally have been a fan of Marie Forleo forever, love her. The thing is, when I'm working with clients that are also in love with her, they tend to want to emulate her in everything, including the website, style, personal style, everything. And I'm here to say to you that not only that I believe in you and what you need to do and flourish in your own way, but I also want to stand for your autonomy. I also want to stand for your independence, and I mostly am standing for how special you are and how I want to get to know who you are in your brand and not someone else's. Now, sometimes, and the conversation that I had, too, was, well, I want to show people that I'm like-minded, that I, too, have that sort of mindset that she does, and I also want to have a brand alignment with her. Well, the thing is that, you know, Marie's been in it for, I think, over 10 years now, and she's done all her work in getting to be what she is essentially going to be. Hold on one second. I'm just going to make sure I have as they come and call in. I'm getting a lot of people. I think I'm online, so I just want to make sure. So what I wanted to say is that you deserve to come out in the online atmosphere. Like, I want to get to know who you are, and that means that I can't see, or one of my first impressions, like if I would look at your tweet, and I think that article that you're tweeting about is kind of cool, and I'm going to go ahead and hit that bit.ly link. It's going to go to your website, and lo and behold, it's someone else's website with your name stamped on it. How am I going to develop my own personal feelings of knowing you, liking you, and then finally trusting you to buy your product? I really can't. And I have to say, if you just spend, oh gosh, I'd say 10 minutes on Twitter, you can click on a lot of people's websites and you're going to see boom, 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 same website over and over again, same structure, absolutely the same, even the circle around your picture. Like it's so much, and it is oversaturated, but I want to tell you something, and it's just so brilliant. I've learned this from Louise Hay, and Louise Hay has been in the self-help business forever. If you haven't checked her out, she's amazing. Go to hayhouse.com. And she's a total inspiration to me. And I found her probably about 10 years ago. Just an incredible woman. And she said something that resonated with me when it came to other speakers. Because she says that when she has her conferences, essentially she has 10, 15 speakers. And it's in the course of 2 to 3 days. And she says herself, essentially, they're all saying the same thing. And the thing is that she had came across a new speaker, put him in, and had heard him speak, and she was like, oh, he's terrible. Oh, I don't think I'm going to invite him back. He wasn't all that great. And people had came up to her and said, oh, my God, that last speaker was amazing. I totally resonated what he was saying. I get it now. I mean, I've been in this conference, and I get it. And, again, they're essentially just saying all the same thing. But the point of difference was if he was saying it in his own voice. Wow, right? He was saying it in his own voice. He's being very natural. It may have not resonated with Louise, but it surely did with others, and that's my thing. The same thing in real estate. How many real estate people are there? What is the difference from you hiring a real estate person to find you a house or sell your house? Usually means that like-mindedness has to match. It has to be similar for you to go ahead and go on with a relationship, with a business relationship. It's the same exact thing here. So if I'm going to go ahead and check you out because I already resonated what you said, and I go to your website, and it doesn't really show me who you are, but instead it is a massive, horrible cookie-cutter effect that's going on your website, how am I going to get to know you? It's almost like we're putting a physical block, a visual block of who we are. It's such a disservice. And so that's my rant. I want to let you know that I'm here to help you out. If you guys check out my website at socialglobalgrind.com, I started it in 2010. It is nothing like anybody else's. And I make sure of that. I'm very distinctive. In fact, when I did my membership website, I noticed that some of the elements started to look like Marie Forleo, and my particular designer was actually a B-school grad. And she started putting elements in there, and I was like, whoa. I don't want it to look like hers or anybody else's. I want it to be very distinct. I want the branding message, the branding visual is mine. And you know what? I earned it. I put in a lot of time. I quit a job that was amazing to go ahead and walk away and do my own thing. Remember why you started? It was to create your own brand. You knew you were better in that marketplace, and you can offer something that was not only great, but it was a kick-ass product. Remember that person. Don't let that person down. And I'm going to be here for you along the way. So if you have any questions about that, please go ahead and we'll talk about it at the end of the call, or just tweet me at globalgirl_LA, and we'll get that conversation going for you. I'm here to help. Okay. So let's go ahead and roll into the call that we're here for in the first place, right? It is about course correcting an infographic. Now, what is that? Now, what's an infographic? Infographic is something that you would create, a visual, to translate how your brand looks. So, for instance, if you go onto my website, or if you go on my Pinterest for that matter, I will have slides that show an image, and I'll also have some words that match that image. I do affirmation slides, what affirmations that entrepreneurs need sometimes when we lose our focus. I try to concentrate on that. And by doing that, I'm showing you what my belief system is. I'm showing you by also applying my logo, what my brand of philosophy and look is all about. And that's very important. So the first thing you need to do on all of your infographics, make sure that you have your logo right on each one. Also, make sure, if possible, that you can have a white background space. Even when you're applying your images or overlaying your images, And it's been a wonderful case study, and it does definitely yield really well. The white background on any sort of thing, whether it's a website or an infographic, will send a message that this is an upscale product. Now, I don't know about you, but I like pricing things where I'm very comfortable with, and they usually are a higher-end product. I do have different levels of products and prices. Like AMP, for instance, it's a membership, that you can have for $37 a month. That is a very wide reach of people, so you can, usually get a very wide spectrum of clients to see you at a special price, which is great. However, when we're getting into it, I'm really going to go ahead and excel into any sort of program. I do price my items to be of an upscale, higher price point. Reason is because I pack it with value, and I'm not, afraid to say that. I think it's great when you're really confident about something. And also, all of my products are very result-driven. So I'm going to put a lot of time into that, and I want the client, when they're looking at the infographics, they're checking out the brand, I want them to understand, know me with the branding, like what they see, because we have to be on that same wavelength to look at each other and really resonate with each other. And then, of course, trust, where they're going to be cool with trusting my product and purchasing it. Now, let's break those down. I've said that before, know, like, and trust. And you've probably heard it before in other calls and webinars, but let me just break it down really quickly, because I feel like a lot of different entrepreneurs have a different sense of what that is. Just to give you a little bit of background with me, I've been in retail world for 20 years. I've been in the e-commerce world for probably the last 7 years. And I do have a lot of result-driven, sales results. A lot of it is because I understand what that triad effect is. Knowing means that you are constantly showing who you are, what your belief structure is, and what you stand for. If you do that effectively, people are going to get and know you. They're just like we know Apple. We know Apple is innovative. It's fresh. They just bought a beat, from Dr. Dre. It's a very hip company, very useful, but people in 30 up, 40 up, can still feel confident that it's user-friendly. You see what I'm saying? Like, we know that brand. So that's a really good example. On the like factor, the like is very simple. Do you like the product? Do you like the visual? Do you like the way the message is being sent out? If you, and I in particular, I try to focus on getting like-minded people that are rebellious, that probably were fired from jobs because they have a very distinct mindset and a rebel mentality, which is always good. I love that. That means that they're not going to be sedentary or that they're not into the status quo, which is like totally me. So, and also too, this is like the rebellious side, is not to apologize to what you are selling, who you are, or what your product is. That's a very key element. So for me, it's I want people to know that or be that or resonate with that. And the last item is know, like, and the last one is trust. So trust is, and this is different for a lot of people. To me, I feel like it's depending on the price point. Maybe somebody can go on your website, check out a video, and then buy your $27 ebook. That's fine. That's easy. But when you're promoting a product or an evergreen product that's, a $200 price point or a higher, that client may hang out and check out who you are first for 6 months. A higher price point item, maybe a mastermind group, they may hang out with you for a year. I don't know why I said an hour. But for a year, just checking out who you are, what you do, what your products are, and also, just like Amazon.com, they want to hear reviews. So testimonials might be lacking on your page, your sales page. You may want to think about that, because that is definitely going to cinch that gap from trusting you. So the more that you have testimonials on your page, the better outcome it is, because you have all of these other people with faces and quotes and names that assure you that their experience with you is awesome. Now, it's not, you know, it's not as easy as all of that, but some people just need a breather and take it back. And there's a lot of researchers out there, and my favorite people in the world are clients that are researchers and also introverts, because they are really methodical, they're very caring, they're also really great listeners, and they're probably going to be flipping amazing service providers. So that is the difference between, and to me as an introvert and an extrovert. Extroverts are you know, there's a lot of qualities there too, but I feel like the introverts take the time to know the client and really focus on what's important to them. So to get that know, like, and trust factor, you want to be able to do that with your branding and, in particular, your infographic slides, especially if you're going to do a webinar. Infographic slides are amazing. They really convey the feeling of how it's going to work with you, or how they're going to work with you and what they're going to get out of it. If you do it correctly, and again, you can go on my Pinterest page, and by doing that, the link is at socialglobalgrind.com. Check out some of my infographics. They really show and evoke the feeling of how it would be to work with me, or how the essence of what my brand is all about, which is pretty cool. So if you do that, you'll be able to kind of understand, or what I call reverse engineer, that sort of feelings that you can get from your brand, like if, you know, and you can be anything and everything, but every brand has a message. Know what yours is and do it. Also, too, if you don't know how to do an infographic, if you join AMP, the AMP program, anytime you join, by the way, any of some of the past programs that I've had, and I'm launching programs, new programs this year, the first taste of that program you can get as an AMP member, and it's free. Like, I'm not charging you additional money. Like, you can actually access it for free. And I just finished up a 4-week series of how to create an infographic that looks like, you know, your brand that you're comfortable with, and it's a really fun thing to do. Now, if you're not into it, you can always assign that to a virtual assistant. The cool thing about anything that we do, we can assign things to a virtual assistant. So if you're not feeling how you can really do that, then, you know, you can have a virtual assistant do it for you. And it's amazing once you get things off your plate, and you can just go ahead, hey, I want these colors, I want this font, and this is the image I want you to use with this quote. You'll be surprised how quickly they can turn it around if they're a pro, and it's great. Or if you want to train them, you know, grab my infographic tutorial that's on the website that's going to be coming up shortly, and they can study that, you know, for themselves and use it. So I'm, you know, definitely don't make the excuse, or don't use the excuse that you can't do it, because quite frankly, the number one consumer, which is a female, the number one consumer in the world, is hanging out on Pinterest. Don't ignore her. She's there with money. She's there wanting to get to know you. She's actually searching for you. So if you can grab her attention by an infographic, pull her back to your website, magic will happen. It's so easy. It's one of the best lead generating things that you can do other than Twitter. Twitter's my number one for sure. The reason why you're on the call is probably because you found me on Twitter. So think of that. Think about how everything just kind of interworks together and how it just rolls out. And using infographics is really going to just up-level your game for sure. Okay, so let's just check. I'm just going to check on one thing here. I'm going to check on the time. Okay. I wanted to make this a half an hour call. Let's just see. I have a couple of questions already that I have emails from, but I'm also going to put on the Q&A section. So if you guys want to go with that, we can. Let's see. And I believe if you want to jump on and get a question there, you would hit, oh goodness, believe it's star 6. There, okay. All right. Okay, so some of the questions that I've had in particular is one question I had this week with all of the infographic stuff that we had was like, you know, how much time should I put into infographics? And that's kind of sticky. I would love to say it's about the same time you put into Pinterest. But if you're like me, that gets lost and I'm there for an hour just looking at, oh, wow, I can make homemade deodorant. Then that might be a bit much for you. So what I would say is like, you know, anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes a day. I'd like to actually do one day a week, Tuesday. It's like a creative Tuesday, and I do all of my infographic stuff. I also create any of the social media posts I'm going to have for a week or link with an article. I also write down titles or ideas for articles on that same day. I've been trying also, busy. You hear that a lot, right? I've been so busy. Tuesdays are usually when I post all my posts on Facebook the entire week using their scheduling module that's actually on your page. And I try to do that often. I usually lead people back to either my website or just to check out for fun, like Pinterest. Sometimes it's that simple, like if you don't know what to post, sending them back to a Pinterest page is always great because it's A, you're visually stimulating somebody, B, it's probably a female, and C, we know that all females are consumers. So also too, with that, it's always a good idea to see what your offerings are each quarter and reassess to see what is selling well, what is not selling well, and how to, change up the strategy on how to do that. A lot of people have ebooks that they use to sell on their website, and it's a great way to really broaden the reach globally and get people to buy it. The thing is, in this marketplace, we have, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands other people selling an ebook. So what's different between you is probably that infographic. If you have an amazing book cover, great. Some of us don't, to be honest. We'll go and get a mock-up of a book cover, and it's not inspiring enough. So if you were to put images that are related to maybe a chapter, maybe you're talking about, I love this book. There's a book that I often read sometimes. I think it's Lunch in Paris, and it's such a great book. What she does is she talks about how she fell in love with her husband, who is French, and she was she's actually living in England. She would go on the weekends to be with her boyfriend, this French boyfriend who turned out to be her lover. And then, of course, they got married. But the great thing about this is that every time she would go, she would talk about food. And she would say, you know, after our first time that we made love, my lover took out this old espresso pot and he made espresso, and then he whipped up like some pastry and he gently, you know, toasted it. And the presentation and the decadency of her words on how that was a part of the lifestyle and the care and the thoughtfulness and the attention spent in the food. I'm not talking about the other stuff, but in the food, that can translate into a beautiful infographic if she were to actually take a picture of that espresso pot or the pastry or anything like that. I think that would be stunning, and talking about and pulling people back into that moment where it's very intimate. It's in this really tiny, I don't know how to say apartment in French. I did a second ago, but it just slipped. But just being in that apartment space, overlooking the city, Eiffel Tower in the background, you know, French doors opening out, and you see the wrought iron right there on the balcony. It might be smaller because, you know, not all of us have these huge balconies. But it could be a book, a croissant, the window, and then show what that feeling was in a sentence, in, you know, anything that comes to mind that is relatable to your book. So you can do something like that consistently once a week. And to me, that's better than a blog, because now I'm romanticizing what it would be like to read your book, how I would be a part of your community. Like, I could sign up for your newsletter. I love this stuff. I want to be able to peek into her book for weeks. And not only that, but maybe if she has a webinar or if you have a call about your book, then you can do book clubs based off your book, which is amazing. And I'm doing, like, right now I'm being really romantic and I'm thinking about, you know, nonfiction or fiction or just novelists. But it could be about anything. I'm writing a book about lifestyle and social media marketing. And it's very similar. Like, to me, they're both linked. Like, my whole lifestyle, my whole life led up to understanding social media. But there is a painful part where I was going through a divorce and experimenting with alcoholism and pushing through to subsequently finding a partner that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. In fact, not only am I married to him, but I'm moving next month to New Zealand, where he's from, and I'm going to be an expat. So all of that is what I'm going to translate into a book. And how does social media work with all that? Well, the first thing I'm doing with social media, as soon as I get to New Zealand, I'm going to get my own community. And I'm going to try to get some expats that are in my community. I want to expand and know other people in New Zealand. It doesn't have to be about me, you know, shoving services down their throat. It really is about me having a relational experience with these people. It's a lovely culture, by the way. I want to be totally ensconced in what that feels like. And so if I write about that, blog about that, show infographics about the beautiful, gorgeous elements in New Zealand. By the way, I'm living across, I mean, literally my house is sitting on the ocean. You walk across like a small world, a road, and there's rocks, and then there's the ocean. Like, wow. You know what I mean? So if I can show that and how I'm going to scale my presence, my life experience by using social media, using infographics to demonstrate and tell that story, my readership will finally be stimulated. Not to say that you guys aren't now, because you are, but it's just going to be like a different level, right? Like showing how my life is going to be in a different, you know, not in smoggy LA, but this time it's actually in, you know, clear, crisp. It's going to be winter there when I move next month. Clean, crisp, cold, San Francisco-like weather, and how am I going to take that on? How am I going to grow a community? How am I going to live? What am I going to do without a Whole Foods? You know what I mean? Like, no Target. It's just, it's incredible. So the whole adventure of who you are is what we want to know. We don't want to know anything else but who you are. There's a lot of people actually searching for you. Trust me, Twitter is where it's at. If you are transparent in your story and why you do what you do, how could you not come up with a couple of clients, you know, every month, every quarter? What is it that you really want? And this is actually leading me into what June is about. What do you really want? And that's a very scary thing for a lot of us to really look into, because we think about what we want and we go, oh, that's not going to make money. Like, I know I can make money as a QuickBooks accountant. It's solid work. I went to school for this. I graduated accounting in college for this. That's a solid, solid business, you know, thing. Not really. One of my good friends is an accountant, knows QuickBooks, and she's been in and out of a job for the last 3 years. The corporations that are just not holding on. been paying her too much. I'm trying to convince her desperately that a lot of entrepreneurs need to know QuickBooks and we need an easy way how to do it. Why not do something like that that's going to expand and broaden your thoughts? Or maybe you're that accountant that's a really talented artist, but you don't even dabble anymore. And you haven't picked up a sketchbook. You haven't been to an art store for a while. Think about what makes you happy. And this is a scary thing that really translates into a lot of money. Once you tap into what you're really good at, what you really feel happy about, if you get butterflies in your stomach because it's a measured thought, you're on to something.
I hope you enjoyed this call just as much as I did. Now go to the Facebook community and tell me what you think about the rebroadcast. If you have any questions, that's the place to list them. Thank you so much for listening and hope to see you or hear you on the next call.
You'll never be alone again. Take a look around. There's all your